Getting a flu shot is one of the most important things you can do to stay healthy this year. Flu shots are available and free to University of Alabama students at sites across campus and at the UA Student Health Center and Pharmacy. Check out our schedule at cchs.ua.edu/flu shot. Call 205-348-6262 for a flu shot appointment at the Student Health Center, or walk up Monday through Friday from 4 to 4:45 p.m.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Happy Sunday, y'all. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone, and it's Sunday.
It's Sunday, and I think we need to go ahead and say that this is the Sunday before Thanksgiving.
Yes.
So we know that everybody is listening to us right now, because that's what you do on the Sunday before Thanksgiving.
I mean, basically, and you're going to hear some noises, and it's because... We have some paparazzi in here today.
We have some paparazzi, and I would really hope that our producer will, like, chime in, Lady Gaga paparazzi.
Yes.
At one of these songs. Yes. This is for him.
Well, and I think, you know, we're going to leave people on a cliffhanger with this, of course. But I think that, honestly, though, the paparazzi is directly correlated with our guest today.
I think so.
I don't know if we have had a guest of this magnitude yet. So I think there's a lot of that going on. But anyways, we can't talk too much about that, right?
We can't. It's not time.
So we're going to switch gears. So I'm just going to ask you something random.
All right, do it.
Do you like sauces and condiments?
Yes.
You do?
I do.
Okay, tell me what are your sauces of choice?
So here's the thing. Being a vegetarian is really tough, because sometimes if stuff isn't seasoned very well, it's just bland. So I am always a sauce kind of gal.
Yeah.
I love Asian sauces. Does it surprise you?
No, absolutely
at all.
Not.
But I love yum yum sauce. Like,
do you?
I will buy that stuff like it's going out of style. And I know that it's not like probably the super healthiest option, but it's that satiety that we talk about where you need that little fat. That's my favorite. What about you?
So we do a lot of sriracha at the house. And so my husband had gotten wind that sriracha was no longer going to be in production, like all of the things.
Wait. Hold on. That's where we need to stop for a second. What?
So
sriracha?
It did pause for a bit.
Okay.
And then we stocked up quite a bit.
Okay.
But then I told my husband, I was like, I think it's back, because it's certainly in stock at Target and the non-Oriental grocery stores. So,
all right.
Yes. But I heard that it's actually a health hazard for the residents that live near the sriracha plant, because the pepper is so strong that it literally burns their eyes. So a lot of people can't work outside that live.
Man.
Anyways, that's like fun fact.
That is fun fact. And I also like to mix sriracha with ranch. It's the best dip. Anyway,
yes.
Are you ready for Thanksgiving?
I think I am.
Yeah.
I am. My side of the family, my mom and dad, they're actually in California this week.
Mm-hmm.
So that means we only focus on my husband's side of the family,
which
is great, because we're normally the ones that drive around
all
day to everyone else. We thought when we had kids, people would come to us, but that's not worked out for us.
Yeah.
So we're having to tote the children to all across the state of Alabama, but not this year. So yeah.
Hey, there you go.
How about you?
You know, we'll go visit the family, North Alabama, and I was trying to think, like, we still don't really even know the plans. Like, this is just kind of the way things go. You never really know the plans, and, I mean, I have a cat, and so somebody's got to take care of the cat, you know, because it's just a whole thing. But did we talk last week about our favorite Thanksgiving foods?
I think we talked about some of the strange things.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go normal.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Thanksgiving dish? That's not strange.
I like a really good dressing.
I do too.
Yes.
Yes.
That and any sweet potato stuff.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of.
Yeah. And I love the mac and cheese.
I think you told me that, and I was surprised by that.
Mm-hmm. I love the mac and cheese.
Now, are you contributing anything to the Thanksgiving meal? Like, do you bring something or make something?
This is where I would like to, but I feel that because we come from out of town, nobody wants us to have to worry about anything or bring anything. So they're just like, I don't worry about it. But I'm 37 years old, and I feel like I should be contributing, and no one will let me.
Do you sit at the adult table or the kids' table?
We mix it up.
Yeah. I mean, because, the running joke is, like, if there are still certain generations above you that are still alive, it doesn't matter how old you are. You may still be at the kids' table.
We mix it up. It's just wherever you want to sit, you just sit. And That's just what we do.
Well, I've been thinking about this Thanksgiving. You know I just acknowledged that we won't be seeing my family. So I'm like, you know, it only feels like Thanksgiving if there's a random Filipino dish amongst the normal holiday food, so I feel like I need to make something Filipino to bring over to my mother-in-law's. I'll report back next week.
Report back. And if they don't like it, I'll take it.
Yeah, I'm like, can't be anything too strange.
Yeah.
But it's got to have some Filipino flair. But anyways, we're not talking about Thanksgiving food again, because we talked about that last week. But we've got to take a break, you guys, and then you will hear from our celebrity. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney, and it's Thanksgiving week, and we're super grateful, but we are not going to talk about Thanksgiving. We have already decided.
Yes, and not that we're anti-Thanksgiving.
No,
so we're gonna
it's
go
fun.
We're just going to put that out there, but we've got other things to talk about.
We do.
So tell us about our guest, Whitney.
Well, you know, this is very interesting. So usually when we're looking for guests, we kind of like to go all over the division and our campus partners, and we just recently kind of had a structure change with who we report to, and so I thought it'd be cool to have our new AVP, you know, that we're reporting to come on the show, especially since he's been frequenting our yoga classes. I thought he could talk a little bit about that, but welcome, Dr. Adam Sterrett.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I feel like this is where we should cue the like applause button and like all the things. So we don't have that.
We don't have that. So we will use our little claps. But yeah, thanks for being on the show.
So thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah. And you know, for those of you that are listening to our show, our listeners that don't know this local celebrity, we would like a little bit of background about you. And this could take a whole 10 minutes. I don't know.
I don't know what you feel led to share.
For the rare listener out there that doesn't know who I am, right? So for that handful
exactly.
of people out there that's listening that may not know already
sure.
Who I am and what I do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
right? So,
love it.
You know, what's funny is if you would have had me last week, it would have been bad because I don't like eat Thanksgiving foods.
Really?
I enjoy the holiday, but
okay.
the actual foods are not
okay.
like foods that I like
it's
to
just
eat
not
to
your
celebrate.
Cup
yeah,
of tea.
I think, yeah,
huh.
it's just not really my thing, right?
Okay.
So that could have been a whole nother kind of
well, let's
situation,
just
right?
Change it up right now. I'm just kidding.
So, anyway, so what's my deal, huh? So,
yeah.
I am. I'm from kind of all around. I was born in the Washington, D.C. area.
Okay.
And so I spent kind of the first part of my life up there. Around the Beltway, around Maryland and D.C., and then moved to Tampa, Florida in seventh grade and spent middle school and high school in Florida, so went to Florida State University.
Okay.
Big, you know, state public university. They this was the 90s, and so they had a football team at this time.
Yes.
that won a few games in the 90s, and so I was there during the stretch when they were in the top three, I think, like 10 years in a row, right? And so went to grad school there, ended up staying there, was very involved on campus, and ended up staying there for a master's degree in higher ed because I actually, as a strange student, had a job and decided that I didn't want to have a job. And had a job in the industry I thought I wanted to go into and had a long drive home for Thanksgiving, ironically enough. A 10-hour drive back to my parents and decided I didn't want to go into the real world, and I decided to stay in grad school. and so this is 20 years later, and I haven't left campus yet.
All right.
But I've got degrees to show for it, writing paychecks and stuff like that. And so stayed for grad school at Florida State, which is a big higher ed program, and then worked there for a long period of time, and kind of have blinked and have been in higher ed for 20 years. And so I've been in Alabama now for, it'll be like 9 years here in a couple weeks.
Okay.
And so.
Well, you know, thinking about all of your past employment opportunities, whether it's been as a high schooler, a college student, or anything else, what has been kind of like, I don't want to say the strangest job you've had, but just kind of like most random.
Ooh, gosh. So I've got good ones.
For.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
In my household growing up, you worked. And so we were a big, my mom especially was big into work ethic. And so The first job I had that I didn't technically get paid for was my sister was raising money for her chorus trip, and we would go set up dress barns.
Oh.
Dress barn is an old store, if you don't remember,
oh,
department store for women.
In my head, I was like, I know what this is, but
so
I can't like put my finger
they
on it.
They kind of made dresses that looked like, that made you look like a barn, right?
Okay.
And so that was kind of what they did in the 80s and 90s. So we did that. My first job was at a video rental store, a local mom and pop before Blockbuster came out and crushed most. And my sister went to college, and I was 14. And so they asked me to take over her job, so I would either get dropped off or walk up the street, and probably got paid under the table at age 14. I'm not sure about those laws. And then the strangest is I worked a fruit and vegetable stand on the side of the road, and then during the holidays sold Christmas trees.
Wow.
Which is a lot of sap.
Really,
really strange job, and very interesting as well. And I also worked in floral businesses.
Oh, wow.
Because my mom worked at florists growing up, and so I would deliver flowers places. And so in Tampa, you would deliver flowers to lots of very, very interesting places.
Did you ever deliver flowers to any wrestlers?
So
that's the hub.
So
yeah.
Not wrestlers,
okay.
But lots of other things that have that Tampa is known for. So yes, very interesting.
You are quite the renaissance man.
Yeah.
So I worked a lot of jobs. Worked a lot of jobs.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking about if I were to rent a movie, as you know, from a 14-year-old, it's like, yes, I am renting Indecent Proposal. Hope you don't know what that movie is.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that was out at that time. That was a hot one at that time, right?
That's pretty
funny. I worked there like 92 to 95, 96.
Okay.
Then Blockbuster killed us, and then the fruit stand
took
me on.
Then the fruit stand.
I was clearly great at very hyper local sales. It's right around the corner.
So you brought up a story when I ran into you last week, and I was like, yeah, thanks for being on the show, which we haven't really clarified like what we're talking about or anything.
We'll get there.
And we'll get there.
We'll circle back.
But you were talking about, you know, you had had some ties to the radio, and you mentioned Backstreet Boys.
So, yeah. So the details of the story, I didn't give you these details necessarily as much the other day. The details of the story of why I went to grad school was actually this is the fall semester of my senior year. I'd worked on campus in student programming. And so in the student union, student programming. We ran a nightclub on campus, and so they booked comedians, they booked bands, and it's also where, like, student orgs did special
events.
Cool. So if you wanted the salsa club, salsa night dancing was there or whatever. And so I got involved with that. We ran a movie theater. We did a lot of entertainment. So I liked doing that, and I thought I wanted to go work in the concert industry, and I had a job lined up in what at the time was Live Nation, the concert promoter in South Florida. And the guy called me right before Thanksgiving and said, when can you start? If you can come in January and finish your credits here or somewhere else, like, we can get you now. We need to get you going. And I said, well, what do you need? And he said, we're going to get you, we need to buy newspaper ads to put Backstreet Boys and Britney tickets on sale.
Oh, my Lanta.
So this is the 90s in Florida. And so this is peak of early of
so
90s
crazy.
In Florida. And so I would be calling like the St. Pete Times and getting half page ads to put on tickets on sale.
Wow.
So you would walk up to Peaches Records and Sleep Outside or Specs Music and whatever. And at the time, I fancied myself like a underground college radio punk rocker. And that was the side of music that I liked, running like a college radio club, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that sounded kind of soul-sucking to me, is calling and buying newspaper ads. And so on the drive, I thought, this isn't what I thought this would be.
Mm-hmm.
And then decided to go to grad school. And I was very involved in going to see bands and liked that. And so
that's
when I got to school, that's how we got involved.
Yeah.
And the guy that told me in my rest hall worked at the movie theater and said, hey, they pay people to check IDs at the door. And I thought, hey, I worked at Video Fair from 1992 to 1995. Like, this is logical. And then I showed up, and it was actually an all-call volunteer staff meeting for their programming board.
Hmm.
And so little did I know, 20-whatever years later, I'd still be related to Week of Welcome and stuff like that. But that's how I got into student affairs.
I like that.
And so people still wonder why, like, Adam, do you book concerts? Like, no. I do all this other stuff.
Call this number. I'm kidding.
And still, till recently, my mother-in-law would say, yeah, he books concerts for the students at universities.
Interesting.
Like, you know, I have a different job now, but that's fine.
But if that's what you want to think that I do, you know, that's quite lovely.
It was a more fun thing that probably to explain to people.
You know, I think that that's great. And I just took your line because you're always like, I love that. And I just totally took it. But as I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about, okay, your position now, and we're coming up on a break here in a minute, but like, in a nutshell, who do you oversee? What do you do?
So what do I do now? Yeah. So I'm Assistant Vice President for Strategic Initiatives, which really means I try to keep us all on track strategically, right?
Yeah.
And so I work with strategic planning and assessment.
Mm-hmm.
I work with professional development, so to make sure that we are actually developing our staff along that same strategy. I also work with University Recreation, and I work with a fourth organization of which
we can
is the Career
it.
Center.
Yes.
that I came to at the end of that sentence. And so I work with some departments, then I work with some areas now that are kind of divisional wide of keeping us on strategy. And I know that sounds very boring, but it's a kind of a hard thing to keep 22 to 25 different departments that do very different things to understand that we really all do the same type of things. And whether you're booking bands and running a club or an RA or working outreach for health promotion, it's really the behind the scenes stuff is the same for us. The student development, the leadership skills, all of that.
Right? Yeah. Well, and I love that you put that in lay terms, and you know, you obviously do a lot. And we certainly, I'm excited to continue this conversation. We've got to take a break, but we're going to hear more about Dr. Adam Stewart in a minute. You guys grab something to drink, run to the restroom, go book a band, do what you got to do. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney. And man, it's the Sunday before Thanksgiving. We're killing it. We got Dr. Adam Stewart on talking about strategies and all kinds of cool things. But it's really been a good show. And I do kind of want to ask you, Dr. Stewart, you know, what are your hobbies? I mean, we kind of know your background and we know a little bit about, you know, what you do now. But, you know, what are your fun things that you like to do?
So that's a great question. I have two young children. And so I have a almost 9-year-old and 11.5-year-old. And so I stay pretty busy with them. What I do for fun, I do, it's going to sound like a common theme, but I like live music a lot. I go out and see bands quite a bit. And so I go to Birmingham quite frequently or stay in town sometimes and go out and see music.
So who would you go see? Or recently, who would you see?
So recently, so I've been pretty, so post-COVID, I've been pretty active this semester. And so I went and saw a band called Snail Mail in Birmingham and Lucy Dacus. And then I went to Atlanta to see a band called Pavement, who was around in the 90s, but it was kind of a reunion thing. So yeah, I've seen quite a few things this semester. I saw something else too, I can't remember. I saw a band called Planes the other night, which is Katie Crutchfield from Birmingham, who's in a band called Waxahachie.
That's cool. Yeah, you're definitely into the music scene.
So I start, I listen to records for fun and collect records.
Oh,
and,
cool.
So that's
that.
Been something I've done since I was little. And so when I went to college, that's kind of how I connected to campus. And
Very cool.
It's still what I do for fun. I just don't have to do it at work, right? And so it was, for me, a work thing. It was a values discussion that somebody had with me about, do you value, like, promoting concerts, or do you value working with students and the educational atmosphere? And coaching students along more. And at that time I said, well, maybe I value this experience, and it just happened to be in the context of something else I enjoy too. And so I could still go to concerts and have fun that way, but then work with students in different ways.
Isn't that funny that that's kind of what student life is? Because I'm a fitness person. I teach yoga, I teach Pilates, I teach all these things that I would have done in a health club setting or in corporate, but I get to do it in a college setting, and I get to have that impact. Yes. And create experiences for students to have. Mm-hmm. Like I'll do a free intro class on the Reformer, and a student may have never had the opportunity to try mm-hmm. it, but because we have that service, they get to try it. That's what we're doing.
And it's a different environment. It's educational, right? And it's really focused around you getting better at your job while the student is getting better at something mm-hmm. and developing, right? And a lot of what we do can be done in the private sector, but mm-hmm. there's some values that we bring to it. And when I teach student affairs on the side, and mm-hmm. when I teach it, that's one of the things I talk about. These are foundational values, right, mm-hmm. of what student affairs is, of why people got involved in the field, why the field exists. And so when people get involved in that type of work, it makes a lot of sense why they'd want to work in this context.
I agree, because I think, you know, when I think about being a dietitian on a college campus, it's so different from the private sector, because I'm thinking, I am literally helping change the campus culture mm-hmm. around the topic that I work in, absolutely. You know, and being able to do that. And I think that season of life within college is, you know, such an interesting and special time. And, you know, I think about your love for music, and you talked about your kids. Do they have an eclectic palette for music as you do? Like, are there, you know, have they picked up on, you know, dad's love for music?
So they do. It's interesting because also my wife, my partner, is a big Broadway person as well as nice. Likes all kinds of music, right?
Is she excited and that Hamilton's
so,
coming?
So, yeah. So, like, she used to sing and perform and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, if you take, like, musical theater
and
Disney and combine it with me, it's like a, yeah. So, they can't escape it, and there's music in the house a lot. And mm-hmm. normally, they're kind of walking around singing or something
that's
like
cool.
that. And so, I think since we're both kind of musically big of music appreciators. Now, she was actually a performer of some sort, mm-hmm. but I never performed of any sort, really.
Well, and I'm kind of curious, I mean, that's what's so cool about student life. We get to do what we want to do and the fun that we have, but I'm curious mm-hmm. from your perspective of leadership, and I mean, you're overseeing a lot of different departments. I mean, UREC, we're kind of big. We're very huge. Yeah. We have a lot of people.
Yes.
And then professional development, you said career center, and I forget the other.
So I remember strategic planning and assessment.
Strategic planning and assessment.
That one's in the name, so I don't forget that one.
I mean, how do you manage all of that?
So it's interesting because I used to, you said this, right? Mm-hmm. You're in this because you like fitness. You're mm-hmm. in this because you like nutrition. So I was in this because I got to work in higher ed and promote mm-hmm. concerts with free money. Imagine mm-hmm. if you got to promote concerts and took out all the risk of losing all your money, right? Mm-hmm. But then how do you go past that, right? Was mm-hmm. I still interested in it past that piece of it? Mm-hmm. And I found out I was, but mm-hmm. much of what I do now is the same thing I did then. I learned how to manage large organizations when you manage a large organization of students and how many students it takes to put on a concert of that mm-hmm. size. But it also takes contracted vendors, right? Mm-hmm. And sound and lights teams mm-hmm. and people who work for the union mm-hmm. and people who do hard jobs that are reporting to a 19-year-old mm-hmm, who just spent $250,000 on their company and is going to spend another $500,000 on somebody else. Mm-hmm. If you truly empower that student and let them do that and teach them how to do that, mm-hmm. that's what we're all doing, right? You can do that through what you do, and we can all do that, right? And so doing that at scale and learning that, oh, I can take these tricks that I know mm-hmm. and apply them towards the Center for Service and Leadership, mm-hmm. apply them towards something else, right? And so expanding that so mm-hmm. that way I realize, I always call it the black box. What's really happening here? It's the student development black box. Mm-hmm. What do we want to happen to the student between 18 and 25?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that way they leave here a different person mm-hmm. that is going to be a lifelong learner, a citizen, right, who mm-hmm. takes care of themselves, takes care of others, all mm-hmm. those things we always say, right? Mm-hmm. For me, it was running a punk rock club, right, and DJing at a college radio station from 2 to 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. willingly, right, mm-hmm. like just begging to do that. For you, it was something different, right? Mm-hmm. I talked to so many people, it's SGA, it's RA, mm-hmm. it's all the same.
Yeah.
It's all the same. If you do it well, it's the intention between mm-hmm. behind what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Are you making them think about what they're doing? Are they doing the right things? Are they learning real life things, right? If mm-hmm. you open the rec center and close the rec center mm-hmm. on the weekends, it's not all of us there, right? Mm-hmm, it's some students right in that building. Mm-hmm. And they deal with tough stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I used to be a building manager during summers at night. Mm-hmm. And so when you're learning to negotiate with human beings, mm-hmm. with people who are upset, with all of that stuff, if you have the right staff and structure to help you figure that out, right, mm-hmm. of what that means and how that relates to the rest of your life and how that relates to what you're learning and how that relates to why your roommate's pissed off at you because you don't talk to them about decisions. Mm-hmm. That's what we're trying to do. And whether you like to do it through yoga mm-hmm. or through going to watch the movies or SGA or fraternities or sororities or any number of things, I think it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so that is why I talk strategy. Mm-hmm. That is why I can boil the whole division down to three priorities and say, look, folks, these are the three things mm-hmm. we're doing. And you can't name a single thing for me that's happened in student life that mm-hmm. doesn't fit within one of those three. And if you do, then we should probably stop doing it, right? And so that's, I think, how somebody who is so embedded in departments became larger, and I had to manage more people. And managing people is the most complicated thing you end up doing.
Yeah. Well, you know, thinking about the experience that you have now with managing people and different personalities, and I think in some ways a lot of student affairs professionals are... We have similar things about us, but we're also quite unique. Have you found a common theme to what keeps employees motivated mm-hmm. and satisfied in the field of student life? Or just, you know, if you're Mr. Manager and you're thinking, okay, I want to do XYZ to keep my employees happy, what's kind of your XYZ formula?
So it is really hard, I think, because every employee, every person, feels incentivized differently, feels rewarded differently, and so it has become, there's a certain part of me that is non-negotiable, right? Mm-hmm. So part of it is learning myself over time and being self-aware of, you know what, these are things I'm good at, these are things you're bad at. I'm actually really bad at rewarding staff. I'm bad at doing happy birthday stuff. I'm bad at doing, like, feel-good stuff, right? I'm not great at that. So I tend to surround myself with people that can help me do that type of thing, right? And so, but I do think I'm pretty good at figuring out what type of management or supervision or relationship each person needs with me. Mm-hmm. And while there's a set of Adam things that aren't going to change, I share those with people. And I'm upfront, like, hey, here's how to best deal with me. Here's how I suggest it. And then I try to learn the same with them so we meet in the middle. And there's a different version of me that they get each one. Now, there's sometimes that they all get the same one, right? Yeah. But you have to learn what motivates people and what keeps them engaged, and it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
And then I think once you get the larger groups, I think it is about simplicity and concise, clear messages of what can we all buy into.
Well, what I'm hearing there, and I know we're about to have to go to another break, is I'm hearing intentionality, and it sounds like you're very intentional, and that's the biggest thing in this. And so we want to continue this conversation, but y'all, it's break time. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheen and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Fit to Be Tied, and man, we're show is flying by today. We're having a great time.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Time flies when you're having fun. But I will say this: we've talked about all the leadership, the cool stuff, the strategy, all the good stuff. But now I kind of want to get into the work-life balance. And the reason why this, well, not the reason, but one of the reasons why it prompted me to invite you, Dr. Sarah, on the show is you started taking our yoga classes at the rec this semester, and I mean, I had never seen you in yoga before, and part of it, I think, was, you know, getting involved with us, which we really appreciate, we really love, but you've made it a commitment, I mean, 2 days a week. And so what prompted yoga? Yeah.
So it's actually a continuation of the last segment. And so I, you may not have noticed, but I did not have an answer to, do you have any hobbies, what do you do for fun? And so I talked around it.
Okay.
I said, I have kids, I have this, I have that. And so I don't have that many hobbies. Before I had kids, I played a lot of golf, I do yard work, I like to be outside. And so I don't do a lot of things for myself, and I have tried a lot of different types of mindfulness before, and I am a highly anxious person, and so I've tried mindfulness things that didn't work because I couldn't stop my brain.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so I did Wilbama classes. I lied down on the floor in 3104 with all kinds of people. I tried the walking mindfulness. I thought the labyrinth was pretty cool, but then there was also like a slow walking just in place, and I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
That kind of flipped me out. And So that's been in the back of my head for a while, and I've had people say, you should do yoga, you should do yoga. So that's just been in the back of my head. Mm-hmm. The other part it connects to is that when I take over a new unit, one of the most important things I do is try to go and see what's going on and try to learn as much as I can. And I'll tell you, people who grow up or come up through facilities like student unions, there's that whole management by walking around, right? Like you're always in somebody's office, you're checking on people because you've got custodians that work for you, you've got people who put on programs, you've got artists who work for you. Mm-hmm. You know, we had people who were in a bowling alley, right? And so part of it was, and I was at a meeting with you all, I think I showed up to a meeting, and I said, Scott, invite me to a few meetings, let me meet the staff.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll take a class, I'll go to an outdoor rec, let me see what you all do. And you all tried to get me to take Reformers Pilates.
We still got to do that.
You all were hot and heavy on Reformers Pilates at that point. And I said, let's take it and let's dial it back a notch. And you all said yoga, and I said yes.
Yeah.
And so there's a few things there. Mm-hmm. I've told everybody, that's selfish for me. That for me is a work thing, right? Mm-hmm. That is how I do my job better, is to try to go over there and learn what's going on, right? But I also selfishly kind of wanted to do it anyway and wanted to try it. And if I said it out loud to you all, I was going to do it.
And the time of day is perfect. I'm just going to say. 3:30?
But I started during the noon summers.
Oh, okay.
And so I started late July.
That's right.
With the noon summers. And then now it's like totally perfect. But also when I go over there, I can see staff. I talk to staff. I stop by and see the people in the office. I meet a lot of folks that teach different classes. So I get a lot of work benefit out of it, as well as I've really enjoyed it. And so it's become, for me, I've been able to shut. It's hard for me to do and had to learn it.
Right.
So I'd never done it. I went from zero to yoga. And I did 1 day a week, and then I'm doing 2 days a week. And so
you seen improvement?
Yeah, absolutely.
In yourself?
Absolutely.
What specifically, mind or body?
So both. I will say for sure during yoga, I can shut off my brain. And so for that hour, I am down. And that is the first time I've been able to do anything like that. Now, part of it is because I have to pay attention and follow every move and every pose and everything like that a lot. And I find myself now, when I go to gentle yoga sometimes, when I'm getting more comfortable, still drifting away. And so I have to challenge myself a little more. Whereas with power yoga, I'm still struggling so much that I've got to do it. And it depends on who's doing gentle yoga, quite frankly, to know how powerful it is. But body-wise, I mean, as far as flexibility, it's incredible. Especially because I've never tried anything like it before.
Well, it's interesting because when people talk about mindfulness and meditation, that's just really hard.
It's really hard.
We're so turned on to everything. And I practice yoga a lot and those types of movement principles. I can't meditate for that long. I went to a meditation workshop in Birmingham. It was an all-day thing. It was kind of trippy. And we meditated for very long periods of time, and it was the hardest thing ever. And I had a guided meditation, so I had somebody like taking me through it, but it was all based on breath work and visualization. Yoga is the best thing because, you know, you need to connect your body with your mind so that when you come into your final relaxation or Shavasana, you release pent-up tension that your body holds from your mind, and then you can lay down, and that's when the magic kind of happens, you know?
So it's interesting you say that. When I used to exercise more consistently, I actually did body weight circuits because I was I am about saving time, right?
Yeah.
So I can also do this during work time, right? And so that's a huge savings for me, who has a 9-year-old and 11-year-old and has tennis tonight and basketball tonight and everything else. But so the ability to do it at work is a huge deal. Well, I used to work out for that 20 minutes of just hardcore for that 20 minutes. It's awful. Well, that just stressed me out more. It was like the most anxious way to exercise for somebody who is exercising to stop being anxious. And so after a while, that didn't work anymore. Yeah, and I never thought about it until I stopped doing it. And now I do something that is such a radically opposite approach to what I'm doing. It's all about calming down and getting your... And it's just as hard, right?
Like, yeah.
I tell people all the time, if you want to know how every single muscle in your body hurts at the same time, including most of them that you didn't know existed, right? Like, that's yoga for you.
And to think, especially power yoga.
Just to imagine how much work goes into some small, extremely intentional movement, right? Like, it's such a, it works with my brain in some ways of just, if you just do the right thing in the right way, you can really get the most out of it, right? Like, it's just cutting all the fluff out of it in that way. And so, to me, that helps because that's similar to how I like to look at, I think, a lot of pieces of my life.
Well, I tend to have a love-hate relationship with the word self-care. I think Whitney and I, we've talked about this before, but I am curious, aside from this journey that you've had with yoga, are there other things that you and your family incorporate that are health-focused or health-intentional or, you know, self-care intentional?
So I'm not the greatest at it. I told Whitney off-air the other day I almost refused to come on here due to my imposter syndrome, but yoga is an attempt for me to get back into doing those things. You know, I'm a pretty crazy introvert, actually. Now, I'm also very outgoing and work in an outgoing field and will never shut up, apparently, and so that doesn't come across. But so when I'm at home on the weekends, I'll hang out in the basement and listen to records for 3 or 4 hours in the morning before I kind of get up and get going. And that kind of is a, for me, the way that I kind of recharge myself, or if I go out to see a band on a night, that's kind of a communal outgoing experience for me, even if I'm alone and not with anybody,
well, you need
right?
That but time, you know.
But so that post COVID, that was a big thing for me, is being able to go out and do that type of stuff again. So yeah, we were big walkers during COVID too, when we were at home, and we still do that sometimes and things like that.
Well, I appreciate your transparency, basically saying, like, you know, I don't know if I'm good at the self-care thing yet, because I think that for me and others that I've spoken with, they felt like, you know, we especially during the pandemic, you heard people say, like, oh, you got to do self-care. And then people would register it as, oh, gosh, this is just one more thing for me to be bad at. You know?
It became negative. It wasn't, oh, let me do this one thing for myself. And I always tell Sheena, like, self-care to me, and this is weird because I'm in fitness, but, like, it's sometimes not fitness and wellness. Self-care is just that break, going listening to records or going to the movies, taking a break from reality. But thanks for just, I mean, our listeners need to hear that, because I think sometimes on the show we're like, you should do this to be healthy, and then sometimes it just doesn't work out that way, and that's fine. You know,
sometimes something works for a while and then doesn't. I swear to you, I did the same types of exercises and other things for years, and it just doesn't work anymore. Right, my life's different. I'm apparently older than I used to be, right? And so there's all these things that go into
that becomes a problem. I'll tell you,
so time is different than it used to be, right? And so it doesn't work anymore. And so I was searching for something new, whether I knew it or right? And so the timing was good for me personally and professionally. You see, it's gotten, you know, both personally and professionally, I've gotten quite a bit out of it. And so, again, it's linked to all these other things of how I can have a hobby that benefits me personally and professionally and use that same 2 hours a week for all of that, right? And so it certainly, I get a lot of I get a lot of value out of it in all parts of my life. So it's been a great addition to my life.
Well, I think considering the fact that you are so busy, you know, we're just grateful that we got to have this time with you today to really learn more about who you are, not only as a leader on our campus, but as a person, you know, get to hear about all of your adventures as a, you know, strapping young 14-year-old boy at the video rental store to nail. Yeah. But jokes aside, we've got to take another break, but we're going to keep you on for our last 5 minutes. We've got a question for you, but you guys, you're sticking to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Listening to Fit to Be Tied, and man, another show in the books. And Dr. Sterrett, thanks for being on with us. It's been great, enlightening, and awesome.
Thank you all for having me. I've had a great time.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know where this came from, but like sometimes I'm just like, I need like a question to ask somebody at the end. And it used to be the self-care question. Well, that's boring. No one cares anymore.
Yeah,
it's boring.
We don't care.
So my question is, what gets you hyped? Like, and it can be anything. You know, one of our we have to talk about Paige Acker real quick. So Paige Acker came on the show. Her version of getting hyped is like a really good schedule and like a planner to where she's super organized. And we were like, okay,
yeah,
all right. I'm thinking like I'm playing like Backstreet Boys in the car and like getting ready for the day or whatever.
And then Charles Burroughs. One thing aside from him mentioning the music like that he likes that gets him hyped, he also mentioned what gets him hyped is a scenario where you have something on your calendar, the other person canceled it, so now you're no longer obligated.
You're free.
So it's like,
does he keep it on the calendar?
See, that's
so when I cancel things, I ask them if I can keep it on my calendar to protect my time. So that way, like, it shows up that you've declined it and you're not coming. Well, I still set up the meeting and I'm still going to have that time to myself.
Hashtag pro tip
protect
right there.
My time,
pro tip.
Right?
I like that. So like,
What was the actual question, sir?
Well, like, what gets you hyped? And it could be anything. I mean, traditionally people go to music, and you're obviously a music kind of guy, but, like, something that just kind of makes you feel really good.
Yeah, is it good, a good cup of coffee? Is it a particular song?
So I'm a big coffee fan, but I'm a really, really big fan of cleanliness.
Okay.
And so I'm a really neat freak cleanliness. Mm-hmm. So, like, if I roll home today and the house is completely clean, but, like, a Friday, if I could get home on a Friday, like a cool fall Friday and the house be perfectly clean, that's like something
like
non-music
that.
Related that would get me super pumped.
Now,
I like to get pumped about things. I prefer the terminology of get pumped.
Well, maybe we should change it to get pumped.
I used to wear a visor in one of my early jobs that said get pumped, and if people weren't so pumped at work, then you got to get yourself pumped. Let's go.
That's awesome.
You're like a server at Applebee's. Like
Flare. Right. Listen, you don't have enough flair. That's 23 pieces. It's a Thursday. It's 25 pieces Thursday.
Like, come on.
Do you get pumped just when it's clean, or do you like to clean?
So it just has to be cleaned. And so if I have to do it, that's fine.
It doesn't
if somebody
matter.
Else does it, that's great. But it has to be clean, and it has to be clean to my expectations.
You know what? I'm going to change my hyped to I love to rearrange stuff. It's like it's like I love, and I do this in my office all the time. It'll change all the time. It's like, oh, wasn't that there? I was like, I mean, it was, but I felt like moving it. I like rearranging and moving things along with being clean. I like being able to clean things. But, like, if I could, if this whole room right here, if I could get my hands on it, it would look totally different.
Yes,
I already have an idea of what I would like to do in here.
So my friends from years ago would make fun of me for open window cleaning. And so my favorite thing is the combination, like open the windows, crank the tunes, and clean, right?
Yeah.
And then you have a perfectly clean house and loud music. And so,
spring cleaning.
Yeah. Like it's just like the best, right?
Got a long way to go.
Yeah.
Yes.
Spring.
No. Well,
I like fall better even though.
Really?
I mean,
fall cleaning?
Yeah. Fall smells like, the aromas of fall are nice.
Yeah.
Like,
that might get one hyped. The smells and the aromas.
Just buy candles, folks. You can just get a candle. It smells like whatever you want. Get pumped about that.
I'm just excited that now we have another new response to our get pumped question.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's there was like the organized schedule. There was the canceled meeting stuff. There's the music. Now we have cleanliness.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is a kind of a sad list here. Folks.
No, but it's good though. I love it. It just shows how adult we all are.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like,
you know,
I like it.
Answers of student affairs professionals. You know. The lovely life of being in student life.
Yeah.
But, okay, you guys have a fabulous Thanksgiving. It has been a wonderful Sunday with y'all. You have been listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.